Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 to 13. If you are able, please rise and join me as we read this morning's scripture together. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. If you go into a department store, the ones with multi-levels, with bigger department stores, what is usually the first department that you will walk into in a department store? Like, we don't have that many department stores now. Most of them closed down. When I was young, we have Eaton's, Woodward. I guess most of you don't know what Woodward's is. I saw Marvin smiling, so he's probably closer to my age. And usually the first department, most of the time, you walk into is the cosmetic department, isn't it? Or the ladies smiled, but they know. You will never find they put the men's underwear department or socks right at the entrance, where things that you really need. It's usually the cosmetic department, ladies or ladies' clothing, because those are the biggest profit items that they sell. 2023 this year, I just Googled it, the cosmetic industry in the world is $571 billion. $571 billion, and 20% of that is used in U.S. So it's a big money, big profit business. You know, for a small jar of cream, you know, it would be $60. You know, you can buy a lot of ice cream for $60. And people care. We care about how we look, our appearance. We spend a lot of time exercising. We go to gyms, spas, so that we can look better. And don't get me wrong, all this is important, good. When you come to worship the Lord, actually you should dress properly. That's how we used to call Sunday best. So all this is a good. When you come and worship God, we dress well. We want to look well when we go to work, when we meet people. But we spend a lot of time on how we look. And very often, we also look at people, we judge people by how they look. So this morning, we read the scripture about Samuel the prophet, the judge. He's going to select and other king to replace Saul, King Saul. And if you remember the messages that I shared, the big king with Saul, one of the reasons that they like Saul to be the king, he is tall. He's taller than most of the people, his peer group. And he is probably a good fighter. So height is very important, size in those days. Today we may look at people more than just the physical appearance. We will look at people, the status, what career, vocation the person is in, how much money he make, what kind of car he drives, you know, is this an expensive car or just a Corolla, right? So that makes difference. Today we look at people, not just the size. But in those days, size is most important when they chose a leader because they have to lead people to fight, right, in battles. So you want a big, strong, tall, masculine guy to be your king, to be your leader. So today we may have different requirements, but we still like to look at people from the outside, the outward appearance. So that's why we want to spend a lot of time to dress up, which is good. We have to dress decently. But today, we're going to learn a lesson. Samuel is going to choose the next king to replace Saul. Okay. It's not moving. Can you help me out? And he went to the house of Jesse, and he paraded his sons in front of Samuel, prophet. He's supposed to be, well, Samuel, it is a godly man. I think we have studied that previously. But even Samuel, the prophet, one of the greatest prophets, judge of the time, in his time. But even he himself fell into this trap when he went to Jesse's house to select the next king to replace Saul. He also looked at the size. Who can lead the Israelites to fight against the Philistines? So we look at the first. Can you move the next slide? So the first, they bought Eliab, and they look at, oh, this is a big, tall guy. So surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So this is the one. I like his size. He can lead us into battles. He can win over the Philistines. So even God's servant, Samuel, the prophet, he's the same like us. Today when we pick a church leader, deacon, elder, pastor, look at the qualification first. Right? If it's a pastor, we'll look at how many degrees he has. If it's an elder, we'll look at how experienced, social status, all these factor into our selection. But the next slide, but God said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. What? He's a big, tall guy who can lead us to win wars, battles. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. How often we look people beyond their appearance. As the last few weeks, Simo and I, we were traveling in Japan for our vacation. First one, 5 years. The last one was 5 years ago. So we had a good time. So we spent a lot of time on trains, buses. And so one day I was in the bus. When I got on, the bus was quite empty. So I found myself a seat, sat there. And then later on, the bus gets more congested. And actually, halfway through in our trip, the whole bus was packed with people. And then a lady came up with a baby holding. And I noticed no one gave her the seat. So being Canadian, Right? We always like to give seats to the people. So I stood up and let them sit down. And she was very pleased. So I stood there, and then I noticed that there's this lady sitting in front of me. She's about mid-20s, very well dressed. I guess she's going to work at that time. And I look at this young lady, and she's probably mid-20s. I said, how come I'm standing? I'm a senior. And she's sitting there. You know, she should give the seat, has given the seat to that mother with the baby. So my heart was, I wasn't too happy. So I was really blue in my heart. All asking, how come she doesn't do this? And so I was judging, criticizing her. So when our destination arrived, so we got off the bus. So I look back, and this lady, slowly, young lady, about mid-20, last one, got off the bus. And she was holding a crane. So she's not, doesn't walk very well. And the crane is not a medical, not a temporary one. Not that she injured her leg. So it's a wood. It's a stick she probably have to use all the time. So suddenly, I felt really bad for this young lady. She's so young, but she had to rely on the crane. She cannot walk properly. Probably will be for her life. So I felt really bad. But I felt even worse for myself. Then I was judging someone from the experience, from the appearance. And don't we all do that? We judge people, even in church, not just on the bus. Judge people from their appearance. And then sometimes we look down upon people. We judge people, criticize people in our heart. But sometimes we do not understand, we do not know people's situation. So I learned my lessons. But here, Samuel, the prophet, a godly man, when he chose the next leader for Israel, he also looked at people's appearance. And in those days, it's not what kind of cosmetic you use that's important. It's a size, because you need the size to do farming, to fight. But God said, no, that's not, I guess it's not working now. Can you work? Oh, it works, even without the battery. Amazing. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him. So someone, another brother, also big, poor. But the Lord has not chosen this one either. So Jesse prayed that, so when I lift up, okay, it turns. Great. Solar energy. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all your children? Probably. If the father thought, well, these are all the ones that deserve your consideration. They can all fight. They're all big and strong. Yes, I have one, a younger son, David, but he's not tall. He cannot fight. So he's actually out there tending the sheep. All the other ones are fighting in the battle. You mean you want that little guy to come and you would consider him? Yes, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. Oops, okay, next one. So they brought David in. He's not, obviously not a big guy, and even the father didn't think he will be selected. He will be chosen. But he ended up, David, will be the greatest leader of Israel. God's chosen people. Why was it chosen? Next slide. Okay. It's not because of appearance. It's not because of his ability to fight. And not because of his maturity. Probably he was a young He was a young boy. He's the youngest one. But the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. And from that day forward, David became the greatest king, leader of Israel. Why did God choose David. Next slide. Acts 13, 22. After he had removed him, Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Here, David is a person that God found him, know God's heart, and follow God's will. And looking further down on Acts, continue to tell us, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. Served the purpose of God in his own generation. I hope that one day when I finish my journey on earth, on my grave, I can engrave this on my gravestone. I've served the purpose of God in my generation. Each one of us, God has a purpose in our life. But for us to choose us, to use us, we need to seek after God's heart. When our journey on this earth ends, can we say that we have served the purpose of God in my generation? I've served in many capacities in God's kingdom, in his ministries, at different age. And God will use us for different purpose. And we have to know what's purpose in our life. When we are young, when I was younger, I served the students. I spent many years serving international students. But as I got older, God used me in different areas, different ministries, different capacities. And as I go even older now, God used me in this role. But one day, I think God will, I'm sure God will ask me to move on, Norman, move on. Something else for you to do. I don't know what that is. But when that time comes, I have to move on. So all of us have to move along and serve God's kingdom in different time. And David served God in his own generation, fell asleep. God, why God chose David? Because he followed God's will. And he seek after God's heart. There are four things we can learn from David. And we can also be chosen by God to serve. We may not be called to be a missionary in faraway lands, but God has a plan for each one of us to serve in your generation. And we have to be alert. We have to be like David. God chose David to serve his generation. I can see of four reasons. The first one we are just study here. He did God's will. He served his generation. David, serving, he always after God's will, not his own will. It's quite a contrary to Paul. Paul, Saul in the beginning, he's serving God. So my last sermon, if you remember, was Saul's better hours in his ministry. But slowly, King Saul drifted away from God. He ended up serving his own ego, his own needs. David, all his life, he followed God's guidance. Even when he go and fight the enemies in 2 Samuel 5:22, even when he went into the battlefield, he asked God's direction. So which way should I go? How should I fight this battle? David is always seeking after God's will. Today we may be serving, doing many things in church, which is good. We need you to support the ministries, but we have to be also careful. Is this God's will? And I have to be very careful. I like to do 100 things at once. Just like a computer, like a window. I like to open different windows and do different things. But we have to be careful. Are we following God's will. That's most important. It's not what you want to do. So even in fighting the battles in the battlefield, David followed. He always asked God, which way should I go? How should I fight my battle? When David got old, and he know his days remaining on earth is not long, we want to build a temple for the Lord, which is good, right? Building a temple. We want to expand this church as well, and we always want to buy the property, but we cannot expand our church unless we buy the property in the corner of our parking lot. David want to build temple for God, which is a good thing, isn't it? Which is admirable. But God said, I will not use you to build a temple because there's blood in your hand, because you are a soldier. You fight in battles. You kill people. I will not use you. So David ended up, he did not build a temple. I'm sure he was not happy. I mean, he wanted to serve God. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord, which is something that admirable. God should say, amen, yes, please. But no, said God said no. So end up, David's son, Solomon, built the temple. But he followed. He's seeking God's counsel, God's will. So the very first thing I see from David, if he want to be chosen, God choose David. If you want to be chosen, first you have to follow the will of God, serve the purpose of God, like what in Acts here reminded us. And the next thing, why was David such a good king? Why was he able to follow God's will? Because he is really close to God. Second thing I can see that David was a very passionate worshiper. I add in the word here, passionate. He probably developed this worship spirit when he was tending the sheep in the field all by himself. He himself and the sheep, like Moses. I mean, God trained him. While his brothers may be fighting in battlefields, he was quiet alone himself with the Lord. He probably spent a lot of time in the field when he was telling the sheep to be with the Lord. Look at the Psalms. Psalm 23rd. Wow. We all know Psalm 23rd. But the beautiful Psalms. He was very close to God. He was a passionate worshiper. He's also if today he comes to our church, we probably would love to help him to be a worship pastor. So Saul, when he was in, he needs some spiritual support. So he asked his servants, provide for me a man who can play well and bring him here. Play well. So they brought David. So David can play the harps in those days. String instruments. He probably don't have piano. Otherwise, he will be playing piano like him. Like, they don't have pianos. So they play other instruments. And why would God choose someone, not even a drummer, right? At least for a drummer, you can play these drums in the battlefield, right? You see all these people. But what's the use of playing those string music equipment? But I know that David also plays tambourine. So later on, you read further down, he also plays different kind of music instruments. Why would God want someone as a musician to lead the Israelites to fight the enemies? Because he is a passionate worshiper. He's also a dancer, you may not realize. Oh, this actually does work without the battery. Oh, okay. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the ark of the Lord. You know, they were dancing, singing in front of the ark before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of wood, lyres, harps, tambourines. So if today, I'm sure he will learn. I'm sure he will learn to play the drums. You know, if David is today with us, and cymbals. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. He's not just moving his body. He's dancing with all his might. A king of Israel, dancing with all his might. I don't know what kind of dance he was doing. But he was dancing, he was worshiping God with all his heart. David is probably not a theologian, but he is a passionate worshiper. And for that, God chose him. We have to treat worship a little bit more serious than we are today. The fact that you're here on Zoom, you're the worshiping God each week. But we have to learn to be a more passionate worshiper. Treat passion as a matter of life or death. Worship is our highest calling. Every other ministry is secondary. I learned this when I was a youth at church. I grew up in this church. And all my counselors taught me that you, Norman, you have to treat worship the highest ministry in your Christian journey. I never miss a worship. When I was in exams, actually, I even need to come to worship more. I need the Lord's help even more. Even when I writing exams, I come to church Sunday morning. The only time I will miss church Sunday is when I'm sick. I cannot get out of the bed. When I was in Japan, one thing that really amazed me is the schedule of the trains for anyone you been in Japan. At first, I find it a bit awkward, their schedule. The train will come at 2:41. I said, why 2:41, not 2:42 or 2:40? And the next train will come at 1:59. 1:59. Or maybe easier to just run it off to 2 o'clock. The reason that you got all this awkward time is it's not unlike here, because our trains never on time anyway, so it doesn't matter. But here you stand on the SkyTrain, and you know that the train will come, and then you hop onto the right train, right? There's no other trains on the track. But in Japan, on the same track, well, first you have to find the track first. It's not easy. There are many tracks in the station. The track 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then when you find the one way track, there are many trains on the track, not just one train. And they all come, they share the track. So you have to figure out which train. Don't get onto the wrong train. Well, otherwise, you end up somewhere else. So when they say that the train will come at 2:41, the train will come at 2:41, not 2:40 or 2:42. And when they say that the train will come at 2:59, the train will come at 2:59, not 3 o'clock or 2:58. So after a while, because we cannot read Japanese very well, so we don't know which train is the right train. So we look at the time. If our train is supposed to come at 2:41, so the train that arrives at 2:41 is the right train. Same as getting off the train or the bus. They always stop there at the right time. Sometimes we don't know which stop to get off. So we look at the time. And if Google said that, our train will arrive there at 5:43. So at 5:43, we will get off the train or the bus. So when we say that the worship starts at 9:30, we start at 9:30. Actually, if you want to get on a train, you don't go to the train station at 9:30. You go there 10 minutes earlier. Why? Make sure that you get on the train. But why? If you get on the train, you get there on time. But why? When we come to worship our Lord, the King of all kings, we don't come at 9:30. Actually, I would even say that coming at 9:30 is late. You should come before 9:30 so that you can quiet down, use the washroom, settle down, meditate, prepare your heart. So coming at 9:30, I would say that you're late. Come a bit earlier. If you do not treat worship a matter of life and death, the highest priority of our ministry, God would not use you. Like David, God chose David, I think the main reasons, because he is a passionate worship. How do we know that? With the Psalms. Half the Psalms were written by David. David has a heart for the Lord, and that's why God used him. Not because he is a good theologian. The most valuable thing the Psalms do for me is to express the same delight in God which made David dance. Well, I'm not suggesting you will get up and start dancing while I'm speaking, but is your heart dancing this morning? When you sing, are you singing with your heart? As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. What a beautiful hymn, psalm. My God, my soul's thirst for God, for the living God. When can I go and worship my God? When can I go and meet my God? This should be your heart each week, looking forward to coming to the corporate worship, to join our heart, to sing, to dance. You're allowed to dance, to move your body, the Lord. And I believe that is the main reason that God chose David. And today, if you want God to choose you to fulfill his plan, ministry in your life, you need to follow his will. But to be able to do that, you need to be a passionate worshiper. Treat worship as your highest ministry. Everything else you do in the church for him is secondary. And because he's so close, David is so close to God, because he's worshiping him day and night. Just read the Psalms. And he has full faith in God. That's the third point. We all have faith in God on things that's secondary, that are less important. But when it comes to critical, important issues, life and death situations, our faith in God tend to also fade away. David has full faith in God, even when he faced life and death. You all familiar with the story of David and the Goliath? Even non-Christians know about this story. They use this as an analogy in a situation where a small company are fighting against a big company, David against the Goliath. We all familiar with that. And in case you don't know how tall Goliath is, someone drew a picture. He's about 9'6". A bit taller than Yao Ming. And David, they estimated a soldier in those days is about that tall. So it's about, look at the size. And the Philistines challenged the Israelites to come one-on-one. That's a one-on-one. Oh, they are very smart. We're trying to beat our warrior, Goliath. Send someone over here. And they're all scared. Right. Just almost like asking you to play a one-on-one basketball with Yao Ming. I don't know about you. I would not. We have no chance of winning. So asking anyone to come. And Goliath, his armor, the Bible records that it's about 57 kilo. I got it somewhere here. 57 kilo, almost heavier than me. I don't. And he has people standing in front of him with the shields to protect people by shooting arrows at him. And this big giant, and David, little guy, one tear. Even his brothers were scared. No one there. But little David, he won't hear to fight this giant. Just look at the size. He was not even trained as a soldier. But he got his strength from the Lord. You come to me with a sword, spear, javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. That is true faith. In a life and death situation, can we trust our life with our Lord? And David can, because he not only knows God, he is in a good relationship with God. He knows that God is the Almighty Lord. God probably gave him a vision, you go and fight. I don't think he just walked up there and said, I want to fight this giant, without the assurance from the Lord. He is so close to God, he knows God's will. And his faith, he has faith in him. And we all know the story that David won over this giant. He has full faith in God. And for us to be chosen by God, selected by God to fulfill his plan in our life, we need to have faith in our Lord. Sometimes Lord God asks us to venture into ministries that are very challenging. Lots of unknowns. But the important thing is we have to know that this is God's will. Once we know that, fear not. We will be like David fighting against this giant. God is on our side. But David is not perfect. This is my fourth point. Oh, sorry. I missed a point here. David is fully submit to God's authority. I preached this before, that we have to submit to God's authority. David has two chances to kill Saul. Saul was going after David day and night, trying to kill him. But Saul was jealous with David's popularity. And David has two opportunities. I can almost say it's God-given opportunities to kill Saul. And he has all the right to do that. Today, God has delivered your enemy, Saul, into your hand. Now, therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke. I only need one stroke. I would kill him. Just let me do that. And I think David has all the right to say, yes, let's end this battle with Saul. Then we can go on with our normal life. Right? But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, Saul, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt? Wow. This is not human, isn't it? Someone trying to kill you day and night, you're running, hiding all the time. Now there's an opportunity. Your enemy is sleeping. And is you have all the rights. This is a war. Right? You have all the rights to kill your enemy so that he will not kill you. But he said, no, I won't do that. Because Saul was anointed by the Lord. He is God's servant. I dare not to touch him, to hurt him. And I will let the Lord punish him. And which God did. With the story. As the Lord lives, surely the Lord will strike him, or his day will come that he dies, or he will go down into battle and perish, which Paul did. He was killed in the battlefield. But David dare not to put the judgment into his hand. He submit to God's authority. It's very important. For us to be a good leader, we have to be a good follower. We have to submit God's authority. The authority may be from our employer, from our church, pastors, elders, leaders, even government. Our authority may be from our parents. We have to submit to God's ordained authority. To be a good leader, you are also a good follower under God's authority. God chose David because he submit to God's authority. And something even funny, So when David left, and David called back to Saul's bodyguards, Abner, are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guard your Lord, the king, Saul? But one of the people came to destroy the king, your Lord. And then he even shouted to Saul's bodyguards, you guys need to be more, do a better job to protect your king. I almost killed your king. It's kind of, almost kind of bit humorous. But he respect God's ordained, anointed Saul. But David is no saint. He also, just like you and I, he also sinned. We read how David committed adultery and God did punish him severely. God also brought tragedy to his family. God can also use us because we are sinners. We are not God. We are not Jesus. Like David, he fell. But the important thing is he repented. He fell and he repented. If you read Psalms, you know that Psalms is not only Psalm of praise, that even genre of Psalms. It is a Psalm of praise. And the next category is the Psalms of lament, crying out to the Lord, crying out for help. So David cried to the Lord for his sin. Wash me thoroughly for my iniquity and cleanse me for my sin. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. God will not choose someone who's proud and never, quote-unquote, commit mistakes. I'm always right. You are the problem. God would not use the quote-unquote Mr. Right. Like David, he also fell, but he repented. He repented. We fell. We sinned. We say sorry to the Lord, but we have to repent. Repent meaning you turn around. Don't do it again. God can only use and choose those people who have a heart of repentance. We have to repent to the Lord every day. At the end of the day, come to the Lord, pray, ask for God's forgiveness, and don't do it again. Turn around, repent. God chose and used David, not because he is a perfect person. Besides Jesus, no one is perfect. He is just like you, like me. He also fell. He also sinned. But he is repented. You want to be used by God? Be a passionate worshiper. Worship him. Be close to him. God does not look at our appearance, our education, our social status, what kind of car we drive, how we look. God looks at our hearts. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to worry about how you look. Well, I'm not saying that then you don't dress neatly, properly. You don't shave, you don't comb your hair. No, I don't mean that. But isn't it encouraging that God reminded us, through Samuel, that God looks at our hearts. So all of us, we're all equal. Our hearts, our cars may be different. We drive different cars. But God looks at our hearts. Our hearts should be physically similar. God looks at our hearts. And God chooses us based on our heart. A heart of worship. A heart of obedience. A heart of submission. A heart of faith. faith in our Lord. God will use you only when you follow His will. Humble. Do not be a proud person. God cannot use a proud person. Humble before the Lord. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. That's the kind of heart God is looking for. And I find it encouraging, not because of how I look, because of my certificates, degrees, because of my heart. And I can work on that, my heart. I cannot work on my status, wealth, but I can continue each day to work on my heart so that I have a heart after God. Let's pray. Father, help all of us to have a heart after you. You're fair. You don't look at our outside appearance, something that we cannot change. We do not look at our status, our wealth, our strength. We look at our heart that we can all work on. Let's have a heart that worship you, that have faith in you, that submit to your authority, a heart that of repentance. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.